Welcome to the Supply Chain Careers Podcast, the only podcast for job seekers, professionals, and students who are focused on career-enhancing conversations and insights across all aspects of the supply chain discipline. This podcast is made possible by SCM Talent Group, the industry-leading supply chain executive search firm. Visit SCM Talent Group at scmtalent.com. To search for or to post supply chain jobs, visit the Supply Chain Job Board at supplychaincareers.com. Are you tired of struggling to optimize your supply chain? Look no further than ProfitPoint, the experts in supply chain network design and technology integration solutions. Visit ProfitPoint.com to learn more. That's ProfitPT.com. In this episode of the Supply Chain Careers Podcast, we speak with Tim Grant, the VP of Logistics and Customer Service for Marzetti. Tim's experience also includes a variety of positions over 28 years with Abbott Laboratories. Tim provides his career path, the kinds of experiences that he credits as career enabling, the challenges he has faced and learned from, plus his thoughts about a constantly changing career in supply chain and logistics. He emphasizes the transferability of supply chain and logistics skills across a variety of industries and how to integrate what may be different as you change products, customers, and industries. Tim also emphasizes the need for analytics and visibility tools and their value for not just getting information, but getting closer to customers and other stakeholders.
I'm your podcast co-host, Rodney Apple.
And I'm your podcast co-host, Chris Gaffney.
Tim, welcome to the Supply Chain Careers Podcast. Thank you so much for coming on the program.
It's truly a pleasure, and thank you for having me.
We always like to start out with a question around how you first got into supply chain logistics. What were the key influences or influencers that led you to this journey?
When I meet with the younger logisticians, I'm somewhat jealous. They had an opportunity to go to college and really take a supply chain track. But that wasn't the case for me and probably some of the more experienced logisticians. We kind of fell into logistics. So I went to college. I knew I wanted a business degree. I really had a passion for the IT side of business and got my degree, computer systems, in the College of Business. And I joined Abbott. I joined Abbott as a business systems analyst. And I did that job, loved it, did it for about 9 months. And I ran into a guy in logistics and he said, hey, let me talk to you about logistics. And at the time they were doing strategic planning, modeling, et cetera, and wanted to know if I'd be interested in doing something like that. And as he started to explain logistics and really the so what of logistics and the impacts you can have on the business, I just fell in love with it. Immediately said yes. Didn't go down and tell my boss until like half a day later. I was afraid to tell her that I accepted another role. But that's how I stumbled into logistics. It just was really by chance, to be honest with you.
So Tim, as you play through that, you've been deep into the logistics world. As you think through and look back, what were some of the key career milestones for you that either are very memorable for you or were very important as you progressed along?
The first one, and I would tell anyone this, is that when you're in logistics, you have to understand logistics is not something that you do and then you put it on the shelf. It's living and breathing. It changes with the business. It changes with aspirations and goals of the business. So that was probably the first thing that I learned. And I also learned that when you're doing analytics, you don't just execute the analytics. You really need to understand the why. What are you trying to get at? And then what does the data mean? And the reason I bring that up is because once I understood why those questions were being asked, and then how was the data being leveraged, I think it enhanced my career because it took me from just being sort of an analytical guy to being a business leader. And I began asking the same question myself before I was even asked from the senior leaders. And I think that was a transformation for me. I think the other big thing for my career was when I got a chance to lead people. That also is a differentiator. I got my first warehouse. It was roughly 110 people. I was 30 years old and nervous, but I learned right away that if you're authentic and you have a passion for people, a passion for what you do, it just translates generally into success. And so that was a big thing for me. And then the last one, I think, that really helped transform my career was getting that global experience, understanding that the concepts of logistics are transferable across the world, across the globe. Interacting with different people from different cultures and different backgrounds is also a major plus in what we do. So those were probably the two or three big things that really transformed my career.
Speaking of your career and transforming, I kind of break folks down into a couple buckets. There are those that put forethought into their career. They even go back and reflect and constantly are tweaking where they want to be at the height of their career and what are the things they need to do to get there. Others are a little bit more meandering and may not have a developed plan. What's your take on that? And what have you done throughout your career to position yourself for roles of increasing responsibilities?
You know, that's a great question. I'm probably a hybrid, right? I didn't necessarily want to overthink my career. I had aspirations. I knew, for the most part, the role or the level of the business I wanted to play in. How I got there, I didn't really define every step of it. One of the things that I tell folks that I coach, and actually I continue to tell myself, is I planned for growth and development of myself, and then the rest sort of came with it. Right. I fashioned myself as a student of the game. I watched key leaders. I watched how they behave. I picked their brain. I was a student, and I continue to be a student of the business and all the things that happen around me. And then, like I said, and then my career sort of developed around that. So I didn't lay it all out. Matter of fact, I'm pretty surprised in some respects, not the career I've had, but how much fun I had in doing it.
I will follow up on that one. We've asked that question to 50 some people. And I think your answer is really important in a distinction, because we have lots of folks, as Rodney said, who said, I was very targeted. I want to be the chief supply chain officer, and I wanted to get myself to that place. That we've got people who say, I just kind of let the water run and where it got to. But I think your distinction is really important. I had an early mentor who said, at every place, you should be about building a strong foundation.
Yes.
Through both development and delivery of results. And if you do those things, opportunity will likely come. And because you've been developing, it will give you the chance to broaden and go up. And I think that's a very interesting perspective to that question. And I'm curious what kind of feedback you get when you advocate that with others versus just that have the aspiration to rise, but maybe sometimes too fast or whatever.
What you said, is you're right. You're spot on. And if you think about a pyramid, I had a leader explain this to me one time. You can go up that pyramid, but it's always better as you're going up the pyramid. If you can take sideway moves, sometimes you may take a move lateral or back. But as you then end up that pyramid, you've created this solid base and a base that you can compete and you can deliver results at a very high level. So I agree with everything you said. It depends on who I'm coaching in terms of the responses that I get. When you're talking to folks that are just so passionate about wanting to lead and wanting to do X and X and X, they almost look at me like I'm speaking a foreign language when I talk about servant leadership. I talk about growth and development. I talk about enjoying the journey and the path that you're on. They don't get it, but there's others that do get it. And then when I watch those same people, what I generally will see is across a timeline of a career, they get more enjoyment out of it and ultimately better results. That's what I've seen.
You and I have hung out with the same people. And so I would say 100% affirmation to what you just said. They, in most cases, end up delivering greater yes. career progression over time. So whether you want to talk about it, tortoise versus the hare or whatever, all those things matter. The only other thing I think that's important for our audience is that approach typically serves you well when the market changes, the economy changes, or whatever. The only thing you can control is yourself. And yeah. if you've constantly developed, you've done the best thing to ensure your success in troubled times. And I think the great insight. So that's great content for our audience.
Yes, very good. Thank you.
Amen. I'll echo the same sentiments. So, Tim, I've been in this recruiting chair for going on 30 years, it seems like. A lot of folks these days are making more frequent moves. So what do you attribute to that stickiness factor that led you to staying with just two companies? And then part B of that question, what would you recommend to employers that may be listening on how they can create what I would refer to as the employer of choice reputation?
You know, that's a great question, because one of the things I would tell people is never stay anywhere for the sake of staying, right? I mean, never do that. But what you do have to look at is, are you growing? Are you developing? So the first thing I would say is that I've been at two companies. I stayed at Abbott 28 plus years. However, I had 17 different positions in 28 years. And so I never really stayed anywhere too long. And Abbott was such a big company. Many times when you went to a different division, you certainly felt like you were at a different company, and also in different businesses and areas, et cetera. So I would say is that you should own your career. Never feel that you have to stay somewhere just because you've been there. I would always challenge yourself, in a position where I can give my all, am I in a position that I can also grow and develop myself to become stronger and better than I was the day before? I would always start there. But then at the same time, what I would tell companies is you have to find a way to articulate career pathing for people. What's the next steps and what are the opportunities? And then I think you also have to really find ways to make it fun. Find ways to make it engaging. Really allow people to buy into the plans and the dreams and aspirations of the corporation. Because if you work for a company and they just simply tell you do this and do that and do this, it's not nearly as exciting as if you're working for a company and they say, our vision is this. And in order to achieve that vision, we have to do this and this and this. That makes you buy in. That makes you a part of something bigger than yourself. And I think that's the so what of longevity.
Tim, a follow-on to that. Two companies, yes, but two different industries. So one of the things that I think you always, in the back of your mind early in your career, particularly when you gain experience in one company, in one industry, in one function, is does it translate when you go somewhere else? So that idea of agility, what did you experience when you moved from, I guess we describe Abbott as pharma, into Marzetti and the broader businesses, food?
Yeah, you know, I think you're spot on. Abbott is probably a lot more than people think. Abbott definitely has a large pharma profile. It also has a large devices, diabetes business. I spent some time in that, and that's the testing strips and devices and things like that, which behaves a certain way. Abbott also had this really little tiny drug called Humira, which ended up being the highest grossing drug in the history of mankind. That drug is now with AbbVie, which split off from Abbott. So cold chain obviously operates a little bit differently than everything else. But I also spent a large part of my career at Abbott with Abbott Nutrition, which was Similac, Ensure, things of that nature that then sold into Walmart and Target and Kroger, things like that. So it behaved in many respects like food. And then we had all kinds of other nutritional products that behaved somewhat like food. But, you know, the skills of logistics are transferable. They're very transferable. The actual building blocks of logistics, the blocking, the tackling of logistics, all very much transferable based on KPIs, based on understanding expectations, delivering high quality results, repeatable and sustainable processes, business processes, understanding fully, no matter what you're doing, that you win with people. I mean, that's the single most important formula that's transferable, is you win with people. But the parts that weren't transferable, I had to put my ego aside and be willing to sit down and go back to school, right? And so there's things in the food industry I didn't fully understand, like the different audits that you go through versus what you go through in pharma and different things like that. Shipping things that are frozen, having frozen warehouses versus just dry and ambient warehouses. All those things were nuances. The frozen warehouse industry is so different than the other businesses, and just the cost and the footprint and all those things. But I had to be willing to trust others. I had to be willing to surround myself with the talented people that understood more than I do, and be okay with that. I think that's the key to life in general, is to be okay. You don't have to be the smartest guy in the room, right? You have to be in the room, and no one should have more passion in that room than you. And then success will take care of itself.
During this short break, we recognize that this podcast is made possible by SCM Talent Group, the industry-leading supply chain executive search firm. Visit SCM Talent Group at scmtalent.com. To search for or to post supply chain jobs, visit the supply chain job board at supplychaincareers.com. Are you tired of struggling to optimize your supply chain? Look no further than ProfitPoint, the experts in supply chain network design and technology integration solutions. Visit ProfitPoint.com to learn more. That's ProfitPT.com.
So you came at it from building blocks and that type of thing. So definitely have seen the field progress. And I guess what I would ask you with your perspective and reflection, what are some of the big advances that you've experienced and benefited from during the course of your career? And then how do you look forward in terms of hope for the logistics world?
The biggest change that I've seen across my career, and I think the one that's the most exciting, is the prominence that logistics plays now, I think, in business and within the entire supply chain. We used to be an afterthought. It used to be you would send us your tired, hungry, and poor, right? Your poor talent would all flow over to logistics or warehousing or what have you. That's not the case anymore. I mean, we're getting the best and the brightest coming into our field and really some elite thinkers, which is very helpful. I would say the other big change in our field has been analytics and the systems and the tools. I mean, many things that we would do by hand or analysis and things we would do by spreadsheets. Now you have systems that can do it in nanoseconds and plant and route your whole entire network and also capture and send out your invoices and then capture all the accounting and all the KPIs of how your carriers performed and tier compliance. It's just amazing what these systems will do. Now, you have to slow down a little bit and make sure that you're still asking the right questions. The data still has to have its integrity. And then you have to make sure that you're slicing and dicing things the right way. But I would say the systems are just, it's fascinating. The transportation management systems, the systems that allow you to track your trucks and your loads, where you can build in your tier compliance and understanding if carriers are accepting the bids and giving you the price that you expected, and then looking at your analytics and your cost profiles and things like that. It's really at a fingertip. As a matter of fact, I have reports sent to me that are there waiting for me in the morning that I can look at, and I love this. I love to know if I won or lost. Always. I'm competitive as all out. I want to know, am I winning or losing? And then the next step, okay, now what are we going to do different? What are we going to do about it? So I think it's the systems. That's going to be the biggest in continuation of that's going to transform our industry. The basic building blocks of you want to fill out the trucks, right? You want to get it up to the highest weight you can. You want to ship your truck as far as you can and shorten that final mile and all kinds of things that you want to do there. That will never change. It's the systems, I think, and how you execute what you need to do is what's really changed our business.
I can totally relate to that. We used to fly blind, used to use a lot of gut feel. Now you can drive much more fact-based decision. And I do agree with you with the advent of the visibility solutions. You got a better sense of, instead of your folks asking the where's my truck question or answering that question, they have a sense of that. And also now can start to see predicting things in the future and potentially heading off things. And I think that's probably for me the biggest promise for the future is the planning guys have a better demand signal. And so we're able to match capacity better to demand. And then we can play a much more active role looking forward and predicting where things will be, navigating and basically making sure that execution's a bit smoother. That would be my hope.
Yeah, I think you're spot on. The other area that I really like and I get a lot of excitement with this is I also have customer service responsibilities. And what I love to call customer service is customer engagement. We're not a call center. We're not just taking calls and orders. We're actually managing relationships. But the big thing I like to get into, and I know this is where logistics is today and where it's going, is that whole cost to serve and looking at, okay, all customers are not created equally. Some behave differently. And so how do you better understand that? And then what steps can you take to remove costs from the supply chain? Because many times it ends up showing up in the purchase price, right? You capture all these costs, you roll it up into your price, then the customer has to pay more. But what if we collaborated? I love collaboration. What if we collaborated and I'd say, you know what? But you're detaining our trucks for X amount of time. What can I do differently? Obviously, there's drop trucks and different programs you can put in place. But you start with what can I do differently? How can I change my behavior that will help you change so that we both can win? I think that's another open area for opportunity in our field is for more collaboration between shipper, trucking, transportation, warehousing, and customers.
Yeah, I think that's another great point to build on. I've talked to people about career paths, and one of the things I said is you can live in the cul-de-sac or you can live at the intersection.
I like that.
And if you live in the cul-de-sac, not too many people make it to the end of the street. But if you're at the intersection, everybody's passing by. And if you're in logistics, everybody internally wants to talk to you now, manufacturing, finance, customer, planning. And then you got carriers, customers, third-party providers. you just get a tremendous amount of opportunity. And if you make hay at building quality relationships, there's a lot of empathy when people are dealing with the same problems. It can be a huge kind of way to remove friction in your work. And I think also build a lot of satisfaction in really being part of a supply chain across functions and across companies. And I think that's one of the things that is actually a big selling point for bringing people into the field. I don't know if you would react to that.
I completely agree. But you know what? You also have to have the right personality. And I think you mentioned it earlier. You have to be a person that is okay with a dynamic work environment. You have to be a person that just has a passion for change. And I say I like to be consciously dissatisfied. Right? I mean, you have to have that ability to say, okay, this went well, but what can we do to make it go even better? And that's okay. And you have to have that kind of a personality, because logistics is not something that you design and then put on the shelf. You keep that book open. It just continues to evolve and evolve and evolve. And I think to what you said is so very, very important. I love that concept. I'm going to steal it. You can live in the cul-de-sac or you can live at the intersection. I want to be on the intersection.
Tim, you touched on change just a second ago, and I'd love to talk about how you entered the organization and what did you do in terms of that roadmap as it relates to the transformation. And the hard part is always leading the people and the teams through change and sustaining it as well. Could you talk to us about your process?
Yeah, I tell you, it was so very exciting when you reached out to me, because the things that they aspired to do, I had had the opportunity at Abbott to do previously. And when I came in, what I found is I had a very supportive leader who allowed me to articulate a plan. He supported the plan, funded the plan, and then allowed us to execute and held us accountable to that execution. But work to do is I worked to build a sustainable plan, but then to sell it. And I sold it internally, and then I sold it to 3PL partners, et cetera. We literally have transformed our business. Now, Marzetti was a very successful company prior to me arriving. They had very talented people already when I arrived. But what I was able to do is bring some concepts in. Many of the concepts they knew about, they just weren't in the right position at the time to execute those. And the big transformation for us was putting in a transportation management system. That was the big thing that really opened a lot of doors for us, because then it allowed the analytics and then the Power BI tools and different things like that. It allowed us to build relationships with the big carriers that we didn't have before, and allowed us to change how we went to market, how we looked at rates and things like that. So it's just been a phenomenal time. And at the same time, we really executed the transformation in logistics and in warehousing strategy. The company also went through a tremendous growth in terms of new products and licensing and things like that. And we're just about $2 billion now. And when I joined, I want to say we may have been just over $1 billion. And so it's just been amazing what this company has done. It's been just a lot of fun. And as much as I would love to say, yeah, I came in and I did this and I did that and I did this, it wouldn't be true. I came in and we did this and we did that and we did all these other things. We did it together.
Tim, we've talked about a lot of things. One of the things that's a reality in any career path are either big forks in the road and or key challenges that ultimately are pivotal in both your growth and development and the path you take. There are a couple things that you would look back on and are good instruction for those who either are facing them, haven't faced them yet, so that, you know, when they get there, they can process them.
Yeah, absolutely. If I told you there weren't any, I wouldn't be honest. And there are challenges that you'll face throughout your career. There will be failures. There will be times when things don't work out as planned, no matter how hard you work at it, etc. But what I learned to do is not to let my highs take me too high and not let your lows take you too low, right? And you're going to have failures. And the key is picking yourself up. I think the other key is admitting failure and admit the role that you played in it, being very transparent. I had a leader tell me once, if you're going to fail, fail fast. But having that ability to acknowledge that something didn't go as planned, now we need to change course, right? But what I also learned is that in those times of challenges, it helped me to grow the most. It helped to solidify who I am as a person. Because I think that's who you are first before you come to a corporation. And so if you're solid and grounded on who you are, then you can bring the best of who you are into the office. So I've grown the most out of during times of trial and tribulation. It really helped me define who I am and who I want to be.
And Tim, any key influencers that have shaped your career and guided you along this path that you want to highlight?
There's been so many. There was a guy named Dave Hipps that gave me my start and really coached me. He really treated me almost like a son and really just coached me. It was tough on me. But at the same time, he had my best interest in mind. There's another gentleman named Bob Cooey, who also wasn't afraid to give a young Tim Grant a kick in the pants at times. There has been so many. Paul Endicott, who really taught me warehousing, taught me how to operate in a plant environment with line support, receiving, and all those kinds of things. So there's really been so many, but I think the biggest influencer in my life was my father. And my father was just an unbelievable man, unbelievable leader. I don't think he ever stopped leading. Sometimes it used to drive us nuts. He would come home from work and we'd have business one-on-one sessions, but not just with me. My dad would take all of us, all my friends who were over, and he would coach us and challenge us and make us think. And he was just an unbelievable, unbelievable person. So he really pushed myself, my four brothers. He's an unbelievable man.
So, Tim, we gained perspective. I listened to a podcast yesterday, and it was talking about stress and basically said people process stress in a different way. But in one respect, they process it differently as they gain experience. And it's very, very hard to kind of have somebody figure that out. But if you had to write a letter to your younger self at the front end of this, what would you say to yourself embarking on that early career you started Abbott?
I would tell myself, don't wish your life away. One of the things I know I used to do when I was younger in my career is say, I can't wait until I have this, or I can't wait until I can do this, or when I'm at this level, or when I can do this. And you end up wishing your life away. Enjoy the journey. Enjoy the relationships along the way. Enjoy the process. And don't take yourself so seriously. The thing I learned as I matured in my career, every interaction, every assignment wasn't life and death. And I took it that way in the beginning. And that's not the case. The other thing too, fortunately, I was able to do this, but help people along the way. Your life is so much more enriched if it's not all about you. You are a very important part of it. Don't get me wrong. But it's so much more enriching when you're also benefiting and helping other people. Remember learning early that Lou Holtz once said, the best way to get what you want is to help other people get what they want. And I really took that to heart. And I just made it my life's mission to help other people get what they want. I mean, my motto was leave everyone and everything a bit better than the way I found them. And that has served me very well.
Tim, you just shared some incredible advice. And as we wrap up today, is there anything else you'd like to share? Any really good advice that you were given earlier in your career? Anything else you'd like to share as we conclude?
I'll share this. My dad used to send me off to do different things, or I would come home and say, Dad, this didn't go well, but I did this and this and this. And my dad would always say, he said, the world is not concerned with the perils the ship encountered. Did it reach the port? Bottom line is, did you achieve your objectives? And I think that's the biggest advice in life. And life will never be easy. There will always be challenges. There will always be reasons why things don't go exactly the way you want them to. But you still have to achieve your goals. And so that's my biggest advice, is don't let all the noise and things get in the way of you being very focused on your deliverables and make sure you deliver the results. I love to say that I'm a servant leader, but that's not a one time and done. That's something you have to remind yourself daily of who you are, because things come at you fast. And to be truthful, our industry can change who you are, right? It's tough. It's competitive. It can change a person. So you have to remember who you are and who you want to be and stay true to that. And so that's another piece of advice that I would give young people. Identify what you want and then also what you're willing to give up to get it. And define who you are and who you want to be. I love Stephen Covey's concept of begin with the end in mind. And I remember when I went through that class, I just had a daughter way back. My daughter's 30 now. Beautiful, beautiful woman. And I remember saying to myself, what do I want my daughter to say about me on her wedding day? And I'd be darned, she got married and she said those things. But it wouldn't have happened by accident. I had to live my life in a certain way. I had to treat my wife in a certain way and lead my family in a certain way to have those things said about me. So begin with the end in mind.
Great stuff. And I think this is really instructive for a lot of our audience who are entering the field or young in the field and thinking about how they're going to navigate the path. It is a wonderful field, has tremendous growth opportunities. You will work hard, you will learn, you will grow, but you're a testament to people who commit to the broader field of supply chain, but specifically the focus on logistics.
Yeah, thank you. It's truly been enjoyable. I love logistics. I love those who love it back. And I definitely love to talk about it.
Well, Tim, thank you so much for coming on the Supply Chain Careers Podcast. We appreciate your insights and your advice.
All right, guys. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Supply Chain Careers Podcast. Be sure to listen to other episodes and sign up to be notified when future episodes are released, as we continue to interview industry-leading supply chain experts. This podcast is made possible by SCM Talent Group, the industry-leading supply chain executive search firm. Visit SCM Talent Group at scmtalent.com. To search for or to post supply chain jobs, visit the Supply Chain Job Board at supplychaincareers.com. Are you tired of struggling to optimize your supply chain? Look no further than ProfitPoint, the experts in supply chain network design and technology integration solutions. Visit ProfitPoint.com to learn more. That's ProfitPT.com.